baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
Outbreak Hotel, 720 WGN. Hey, Herb.
You're back, Mr. Landecker.
So, Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man now, why don't I play a song about that has a hotel in it?
Awesome.
Huh?
Why don't we talk about hotels?
We are talking about hotels. I can't believe this article. I cannot believe, I can't fathom that people are getting, well, I think ripped off, but I turn it over to you, the knowledgeable person.
I was surprised, too, John, when I heard from people who had this happen to them, and I wrote this story for checkbook.org. What's going on is that hotels are putting sensors in hotel rooms. Sometimes they're hidden. Sometimes they're exposed. Sometimes there's a notice that they're in the room. Sometimes there's not. And people are complaining that they have not smoked or vaped in their hotel room. And yet when they check out or when they get home, they find a charge for anywhere from about $250 to $560 tacked onto their bill for being caught smoking in the non-smoking room. And they are mortified. And then when they complain, and here's the most important part of this story, the hotel management tells them, sorry, but the computer, the algorithm, the sensor is 100% accurate. And we do not believe you. And we're not taking the charge off your bill. Too bad. Deal with the credit card company.
Well, I can understand, you know, let's say smoke detectors. Every hotel room should have smoke. You got to have that.
Yeah.
But this is taking it to a whole different level. I think most hotels these days are non-smoking. I'm betting.
Yes.
So that they would have a sensor in there. Just, I guess, I don't know why. I guess they feel that there's to make money. That's why, I guess.
Well, right? That's what has been suggested by some of the people in my checkbook article, that it is definitely a revenue enhancing device. There's no question that you shouldn't be smoking in a no smoking room.
Right.
And there's no question that there's a little bit of expense involved for cleaning out a room where someone smoked. You usually bring in an ozone machine. I can't believe that costs $560 to do that. But the point is, again, that the people did not smoke in the room, and the hotel will not believe them. So let me give you one example. In the story, I quoted, talked to two families. Both of them happened to stay at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas, but we found social media complaints from people that were at hotels around the country, big name Sheraton Hilton hotels. When I went to the Hilton Hotel in D.C. last week, they had a big sign up that we could charge you $300 if you smoke in the room. So the big hotel chains and small, and even now vacation rental properties, if you rent through Vrbo or Airbnb, some of those are using these things now. So the one couple, it was a woman and her husband and the kids, and they went for Vegas for a vacation, and she goes down to pay the bill, and she spots his charge for $560. And it's like, what? We don't smoke in the room. Let me talk to the manager. And the manager told her that basically, I'm sorry, but the sensor and the algorithm said that you smoked in the room. You smoked in the room. And then here's my conversation with this woman. Her name is Lauren Quirk. And here's what she had to say about the experience with the management. So, John, she happens to be a travel agent that books people at that hotel.
Whoops.
So she went to somebody she knew there and told them the situation. They took the charge off. She didn't have to go through the credit card company to do that, but it made her wonder how many other people are being charged this erroneously. She did get the timestamp on when the alarm went off. So the alarm went off a couple of minutes, about 7, 8, 9 minutes, she said, after they walked into the room first time, having gone through the smoke-filled casino that you have to go through order to get to the room, led her to ask, gee, you thinking maybe it was secondhand smoke? Because the second couple had the exact same situation where it was like 9 minutes after they entered the room through the casino, the alarm went off, and they don't smoke because their child has a lung condition, and if they did smoke, it could be harmful to the child's health. So, and that second couple actually were so annoyed they were going to sue the hotel that they, when they got home to Louisiana, they had a urine test done, which can go backwards 4 days, and to prove that they didn't have any drugs or nicotine in their system. The hotel still wouldn't believe them, so luckily they were able to work with their bank. They did it on a debit card. You never do debit cards. Always try to do credit cards. But the bank, after like 30, 40 days, did give them the money back because they looked at the test that they had done. But that's the situation here. I contacted the Venetian numerous times via email, and no one would talk to me whatsoever.
No.
But
really?
I can tell you that this is happening. And one of the travel experts that I talk to all the time, Christopher Elliott, he's a syndicated travel columnist, said he's received complaints, John, that people report having this go off when they use the hairdryer or the mist from the shower in the hotel room. And again, they are met with the attitude that this is 100% accurate. There's one in the story here on checkbook.org. I have a person who put a TikTok video out, and she shows that she was told the alarm went off when she was at Times Square in New York touring the sites. She showed pictures like, I wasn't even in the room. And they so then when I went back to them, I said I couldn't. I said, oh, yeah. Here's another version. It's a different time.
That's amazing.
So the bottom line, two lessons of this is, number one, another reason why you should always use a credit card when you travel. If there's any kind of problem whatsoever, when I used to travel for work for CBS News, when I went to New York, they would always charge me after the fact for using the minibar. I never used the minibar. I was on the company credit card. I would not do such a thing. I finally pulled the manager aside one day and said, after like, you know, I was going back to New York every 3 weeks to be on the morning show, what's going on here? And he said, oh, yeah, we're having some problems with that. Well, we dealt with that by locking up the minibar every time I came. But again, I could challenge that with a credit card company. It's a lot harder, more difficult with a debit card. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is challenge it and fight it. And if they don't agree with you, then fight it with the charge card, the credit card company, and try to get it taken off. And when I checked out of that hotel, the Capitol Hilton in D.C., and they said, should we just email you the receipt? I said, no, I'd like to look at it, because I wanted to make sure there wasn't a charge on the bill, that if there were, I could fight it right then and there.
You know, you always recommend using credit cards.
Yes.
As opposed to not just about, you know, hotels, but almost everything, because it gives you a recourse that a debit card would not. Am I right about that?
Yes, it's federal protections against fraud that you don't have as quite as good with a debit card. You also have that chargeback, right? You can say this is a fraudulent, bogus charge. The bill is pulled off your credit card statement while they investigate, and so you're not having to pay for that. With a debit card, the money's already out of your checking account.
Right.
Like these people, they sucked that money for that couple in Louisiana. They sucked that money out of their checking account. They could have bounced things if they hadn't had enough money to cover
That's
it,
then
they had to wait for the bank to put it back. With a credit card, you're using the bank's money. And then checkbooks found that in most cases, if it's a legitimate claim, the credit card company does rule in favor of the consumer. So that's the way to go. If you do anything travel related or anything at all, purchase, internet, whatever, where there could be a problem, it's, and then of course, if you have a rewards card, you'd really want to do it because you get rewards.
Right. And we'll talk some more with her when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN! Herb Weisbaum is with us, and I always like to pick out some kind of music that would have any kind of relationship to the next topic. Do you recognize that at all, Herb?
I recognize the tune, but I can't put the name of it together.
Chase.
Please help me.
The name of the group is Chase.
Oh, Chase, that's right.
That's right. And we're going to
Which is a bank, because we're talking about
banks. We're bank overdrafts. I overthink this, but that's the way it goes.
Well, at least you didn't do a boogie check, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, for people who don't know me, I'm Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man. I'm with checkbook.org. That's okay. I just wanted to, you recognize the voice, but everybody might. Yeah, we're talking overdrafts. The charge people just love to hate.
No doubt.
So, you know, I thought they were a thing of the past, and they were going to be much of a thing of the past under the Biden administration when there was a regulation put into place that was going to limit the overdraw fee to $5 unless a bank could prove that it was going to cost them more. That was the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And then that rule was thrown out by the Trump administration. They actually looked at data for over 2 years and found out that that was basically what it cost a bank to handle an overdraw. $5. So they said, that's what you can charge, unless you can prove this costing you more. But now that's gone. And what's happening is that banks are making as much or more money than they made under overdraft before. Now, we're not talking about NSF fees here, John, as much as we are the overdraft fee. So if you use an ATM and take out cash, you don't have enough money in the checking account, or you use a debit card and you don't have enough money in the checking account to cover it. That's most of what we're talking about. There are some bounce check fees here as well. The industry made about, it's estimated, $12.5 billion off of that in 2025. That's a lot of money. That's a pretty big revenue stream. And for the individuals, this figure comes from bankrate.com. The average cost for one overdraw is just under $27, $26.77. And when they looked at accounts, they surveyed a couple hundred accounts at the major institutions across the country, and 94% of those accounts charge an overdraft fee. So while consumer groups and consumer advocates have lobbied for years to get rid of overdraft fees or to bring them down dramatically, they are certainly here. And some banks and credit unions are charging up to $35 a pop. And some will actually charge multiple during the day as they clear checks. They won't hit you once. They'll hit you a couple of times during the day. It can be a real financial setback for people who are on a living paycheck to paycheck and are on the edge.
You said that they didn't have these overdraft charges.
No, they had the overdraft charges, and then under the proposed rule that came out at the very end of the Biden administration, the banks and credit unions were going to be required to roll it back to $5 from where they were, which was at that point, I think we were close to $35, $34 on average. And they figured the estimate from this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a great agency that has been gutted now, it would save consumers across the country $5 billion a year in overdraft charges. So that's out the window.
We can't have that. We can't
cannot
have
that.
We cannot have that. We just categorically cannot have that.
And want the bankers to make their money. I did, for my checkbook story, ask the bankers for their side of overdraft fees. And they are clearly opposed and have been opposed for any regulations that limit what they can charge for overdraft fees. And they insist this is a protection that is a valuable service for customers. Here is the quote, John, from the American Bankers Association. Quote, consumers have repeatedly made clear that they understand and value access to this highly regulated service and do not want to lose it due to government-imposed price controls. But here's the thing. Surveys have been done over the years, and I've talked to people. A lot of people who have overdraft coverage on their account don't really understand what it is.
Okay.
What they don't realize, they think the bank is going to take care of them because it's called overdraft coverage if they have an overdraft. What overdraft coverage means is, yes, the bank will cover you, but they're also going to charge you a fee. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. So our tip, number one of three, is decline optional overdraft coverage if you don't want to pay overdraft fees. If you do this and you do make a purchase with a debit card or take money out of an ATM that would put your account in the red, it's going to be declined. So the money won't come out of the cash machine. The transaction won't go through. It'll be declined. Yes, you may be embarrassed, but you won't pay $35 for a $5 cup of coffee. So that's the one way to do it. And if you're not sure what you signed up for way back when with your bank, because it's confusing to people, contact the bank or go in and say, what happens if I use my debit card to make a purchase and I don't have enough money in my account? Are you going to charge me a fee, or will the transaction be declined? If you want to be charged the fee, then leave it. And if you want to, you know, leave it with that. And if you want to not have the fee, say, I want the changes, so the transaction will be declined. So that's tip number one. Tip number two, set up account alerts. You'll get text messages, emails in real time if the balance drops below a certain amount that you set, so you can add money to the account so you won't overdraw. But here's the best tip. Link your checking account to something else, like your savings account at the same institution, so that it will automatically cover any shortfalls. This is called overdraft protection, and that transfers money from the linked account to your checking account so you won't overdraw. At most places, it's free. If you're linking to a savings account, you can also link to a credit card, or if you have a line of credit, but in that case, they may charge you a little bit, but it's a lot less than what they're going to charge you if you overdraw. So that's the way you can avoid having these fees if you don't want to pay these fees.
Well, who wants to pay those fees? Not me.
The bankers say people love the service.
Oh, that's
Didn't
right.
you hear
I'm
me
sorry.
Just say that, John?
I'm sorry. Of course.
You're not paying attention.
Oh, no, I was. I just forgot that the bankers have heard from so many people that they just love this particular feature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go. Set it the way you want it. It's your account and you have the option. Just make sure it's set the way you want it.
You know, backing up a minute, you know, the WGN listener is just really on top of everything you were talking about. The smoking in the room and being charged, even though you don't smoke. I've heard from two people, one from 708 and another 847, about Dave Ennett, who used to be doing our sports here and still does Northwestern. He and his wife were accused of smoking in their hotel room. He eventually got the charges reversed. He told that story on the John Williams show. That's our midday show. So these people keep that information and are now offering it up, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and by the way, if anybody listening wants to go to my website to sign up for my weekly newsletter, consumerman.com, you will hear from me every week and know what's going on. And up at the top is a little envelope. Click that. It's my email, and you can send me, if you had this experience with the hotels, if you have a question, just say, I heard you on Landecker. I answer every single email that comes in from your listeners, John.
Yes, you do. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Herb, thanks for being with us.
You go. Be well, John.
You too.